What does a parent do when they don't like their child? There, I said it out loud. I can't imagine how many parents want to say it out loud. There are just times when you don't like your child. Is there something wrong with me? We're going to talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we love our children. So you're saying that liking your children is different than this love that you'll give your entire life and then some for your kids?
I think love and like is different. I mean, I think love and like is very different. Like is an emotion. Love is a responsibility. Love is a verb. It's something you do. It's not something you feel, although feel is part of the love part. But to be realistic, I can't imagine, and I wonder if we get to ask Jesus this when we're in heaven, I can't imagine that Jesus liked hanging out with the disciples. They were like me. They were idiots. he was God. I mean, you'd see over and over and over and over the quest that he has, you know, at the end of Mark chapter 1, where he gets up early before anybody else, and he goes off to be by himself with the Father, with God the Father. You know, these
to kind of put his head on before
whoa,
the chaos.
Whoa, these people are exhausting, and Lord, they don't get it, and they're stupid. And so what kind of fellowship could Jesus have gotten with the disciples? But he did, and he chose to love them. But it's unrealistic to imagine that I will always like everybody. I don't want to know how many times my wife, Rosemary, doesn't like me very much. And our
so
children,
that's normal, right?
I think our children are honest when they say, I don't like you, Mommy. Right. And I think we're horrified. I wouldn't say that back to my child. But yes, I think it is normal to feel, I don't like this right now. I don't like this child right now. I love this child. I would die for this child. But I'm on the airplane and he's screaming, I don't like this child right now.
So the opposite side of the coin then, is it possible to have favorites as
ooh,
a parent?
Ooh, boy, you went right after it. I think it's unrealistic to think we wouldn't have favorites, and I think we have to define what favorites are. I don't think a favorite is a child I love more than the other child, mm-hmm. but there might be a child who's easier to be with. That's a little bit of a lazy like. Mm-hmm. I like what's easy. There is the child that's your temperament. It just kind of fits. You know,
so you get it.
Yeah, we get each other. I didn't think we'd go there, and you kind of caught me off guard.
Well,
I'm going to get a call from both of my kids today to find out which one is the favorite.
Well, you can get a free dinner out of it. But Jesus, it says, the Bible says Jesus loved John, right?
So, well, John says that over and over. John says the one Jesus loved. John is hilarious to me in the Bible because John is obviously has a sensitive heart, and Da Vinci tried to paint that when he has John resting his head at the Lord's Supper on Jesus. But John's the one who says, and Peter and the one Jesus loved raced to the tomb, and the one Jesus loved beat him to the tomb. I mean, there's almost this athletic pride. And again, he says in that passage, and the one who got there first.
Right.
I think, though, we do see an inner circle. I do see Jesus taking the three into the inner circle, mm-hmm. and going to the Mount of Transfiguration and mm-hmm. in several different situations and off with them to pray in the garden. So maybe there's a like, or maybe there's a mentoring going on more. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that. I think that's natural in our immaturity and our maybe lack of understanding how to love to have a favorite. But I think also we might have a favorite with the one who's just the easier child. I mean, when you get ready to go to the store and you've got more than one child, there's the child you would like to take with you to the store. Hey, I don't want to waste this time alone. I want to take a child with me. And there's the child you quite naturally would like to take with you. And there's the child when that child says, no, can I go? And you're thinking, oh, I'm going to need medication.
Yeah.
because they are a little more difficult. Mm-hmm. They're not difficult to like, but we end up being that. They're maybe more difficult to manage. They're more of a barbarian than the other child. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's unnatural. I think the first thing that a parent has to come to grips with is there are just times I don't like the child. Mm-hmm. And then it's important, and we're going to spend a day on each of these, but then why don't I? Is it a different personality? Is it my parenting doesn't bring out the best in this child? And that's very important, mm-hmm. is the way I'm handling this child, because one child's just easy. And the other child's not. Or is it this child is an interference and I'm expecting too much of this child that's a child? Or have I not adjusted to parenting? And did I just make parenting an additive to my budding career? Mm-hmm. And this is a big difficulty.
Can it just be that they have another personality?
Yep.
That
it's a personality
just,
clash.
It's quite difficult.
Yes.
Regardless of if I get it or not, they're just in a season. I mean, some of these teenage years, I know some moms are thinking, yes, I want to pull all my hairs out during these teenage years.
Or the child's, one of the two, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the child can sometimes sense it. If the child senses that the child's not liked, then the child becomes less likable. Mm-hmm. You know, there may be some children that try to work harder to gain whatever they think they're going to gain from their parent. But I think the child, I can sense my mom doesn't want to be with me. I can sense my mom doesn't like me very much. I can sense my mom's embarrassed by me.
Doesn't care.
Yeah. So that.
And that makes matters almost worse because.
I think they crank it then.
Yeah. Because then they either get really bad or they try to impress you and really get silly.
I will get some attention. Bad attention is better than no attention.
Yeah.
I will get some attention. So I think what happens in our culture today is we don't know how to spend time with our children. We've subcontracted them out to so many different activities. And the thought of spending time at home, you know, somebody heard me, spoke Saturday night, and somebody heard me make the statement about when my children kind of failed at the steps of the party scene. And there were things that they had to do when they went to parties. And if they didn't do them, didn't call when any of those five things took place, then they had to spend a month home before they went back to another party. We're practicing party before we practice other social things like dating. Mm-hmm. And they said, and what did you do with them? And somebody actually screamed that up from the audience, which was hilarious. And I said, we played Pictionary. And somebody said, so you're punishing yourself and the child. And I said, well,
yes, you
could look at it like that, but that's part of parenting. Maybe we'd like to send them to some building on the property where they couldn't come out of the building until time was up or something. But part of parenting is us being involved, and I don't want to withdraw my love as part of the parenting. And did I always love the Pictionary games? I had to decide that I was going to have a good time, regardless of a bad-mooded child.
Because having a good time is a decision that's actually helping your child get through a period of punishment
and
love.
Yes, I'm not going to let that child dictate the atmosphere in our home. And if that child is in a bad mood and trying to show how much they hate playing this game of Pictionary, and the best one was Monopoly, playing Monopoly and making them count the spaces when I rolled the dice, and if I rolled six and went seven or four to a better place, and they're watching and they'd start counting and they'd have to be all in and watch, even though they acted like they didn't want to be in.
Right.
I have to decide that I'm not going to give the remote control to this atmosphere in this home to someone else. So, I mean, I'm choosing to like what we're doing and I'm choosing to like the child. I think until I can acknowledge I don't like this child very much, though, at this moment, until I can start working through it, then I'm in trouble because I feel guilty. I don't want to admit it. I'm ashamed that I don't like my child very much. And it's a reality. I don't like what's going on here. I don't like my child and these particular friends they bring into the house. And we have to make some decisions at that point. Then how do we turn this? How do we, rather than just exist or me get in a bad mood, we've got to turn the corner on this.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to admit it's a reality.
And I think it catches us off guard as well. We're like, oh, I did not expect that I would feel this way about my child. Yes, I love him, but I would like to do some, you know,
damage.
That's it. There you go. That's
yes. Now we've said it. We've put it on the table. I think we get a hint during a woman gets a hint during pregnancy. This isn't as much fun as I expected. And then a woman gives a hint after the birth takes place. And I can't remember whether we waited 8 years. Maybe it was 8 years before we had children. Actually waited 5 years and couldn't for 3 years. Something was going on we couldn't figure out. And lost the first child in a miscarriage and the second child. So we had a very unrealistic expectation because we're so excited to have a child. And I'd been working with other people's children. I was ready to have my own. And so I think I was a little shocked of, wow, this is exhausting, and wow, this baby doesn't sleep. What's wrong with this baby?
Yeah, be quiet.
Yeah, just be quiet. Time's up. We're done. Go to bed. And Rosemary and I had to figure out how do we have marriage time when this baby's exhausting us all the time. And parenting isn't always fun unless you choose to make it fun, and even then it's not always fun. I mean, there was conflict and there was difficulty, and our children didn't cooperate with the program. If they just cooperate with the program.
And you have a perfect program.
Yeah, we do. And those are called clones, and those are scary little clones. I've seen parents who have done this program that's made all their children alike, and those are children that get scary when they get off and go to college. Our children are individually made by God, fearfully and wonderfully made. They're all wired different, and one size doesn't fit all, and the plan has to flex around the needs of the child. And I've got to know there are seasons or moments or situations or times I just don't like this child, and maybe I'm really saying I don't like this situation, or maybe I'm really saying I don't like not being in control because my children are not going to let me control them. Mm-hmm. We have to admit that, and then we can deal with it. If we can't admit it, we can't deal with it. Mm-hmm. And our children are going to bring it. I mean, it's a time for the child in our culture where a child doesn't fit in our culture. The child of the past fit. You know, the elementary school age children were helping take care of the little teeny children, and the junior high and high school student were helping in the family business or the family farm. Everybody had a place. Everybody fit. You know, a little girl, by the time she was, unless she was the youngest, she'd practice mommying with her younger siblings. Mom just needed the help. But everybody had a role. Everybody fit. I met a lady at the church I'm filling in at right now on this past Sunday, and she is the oldest of five girls, and her mom died while she was growing up. And as the oldest of five girls, I said, what was that like? And she said, well, it was an amazing tragedy in our lives, but now, when I look back on it now, I learned how to be a mom because I raised the other four, and I learned how to assign chores, and I learned how to get a lot of things done, and I learned how to not just brush my hair in the morning, but four other hairs in the morning. And she said, so, and I said, so, wow, Romans 8:28, and we know God causes all things to work together for good. And she said, yeah, somehow good came out of that. But because I was given responsibility rather than just take care of yourself and stay late for soccer, I had responsibilities at my house, and I learned a lot.
So you're saying that it's different these days? What, because we've sort of blocked off and childhood should only be about childhood instead of contributing to the family?
Oh, I didn't say that, but I will say that from now on. That was actually really good. We help children remain children, and we don't challenge them to that adult internship. We don't challenge them through the maturation process.
Because it's almost like we shouldn't. We're told, let the child have their childhood so they have good memories, and so they have the least amount of responsibility, because responsibility will come eventually, and they'll eventually experience it. So why give it to them early?
I think that's right, and I think also, who asks for responsibility? Excuse me, Mom, I woke up this morning realizing I don't have enough chores. I think I should have some more chores. But I think the fact that we don't know what to do with their spare time, then we tend to try to sign them up for lots of things to keep them, we busy them to death.
Because if we don't like them, we'll put them in something else.
Well, because they irritate us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm mom, I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm bored. It always saddened me how many parents couldn't wait for the summer to be done. We had so much fun during the summer. And even though I went off to work, Rosemary had all these projects and bonus points for reading a book. And we'd go places when we did that. And so it was like, it was almost like the summer was so much fun, and then making things and making a meal. By the time I get home, they used food coloring to change the colors of mashed potatoes and change the colors of all these different things. It was hilarious. And it just, you know, I didn't always come walking in the door and everybody's dying laughing. And yes, I did hear sometimes we're bored. And so we just went and did different things. That's the time for us to be family more than ever before. You're laughing at me.
No, I'm laughing because I'm remembering my mom. Every time I'd say, Mom, I'm bored, she says, well, it's not a sin. Done. And she'd walk away and leave me with nothing
Very
to
cool.
do. And
Very cool.
I learned. You learn how to entertain yourself.
And if we're not careful, this generation of children will learn by spending their entire life in some kind of cyber place.
Yeah.
Not healthy. And it doesn't help them learn about relationships. And one of the best things is teach them how to serve. Give them some place to serve. In the summer, sign them up to serve something. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to be a little more in the managing of what goes on in our home and expect our children to be children. And our children are going to take us on. And there are going to be those moments, wow, I just don't like this child right now. I would never say that to the child. And when the child comes to me and says, Daddy, I hate you, I would stop them in their tracks and I would define what it was and say, I'm sorry you feel that way right now, but I still love you very much. The tendency is to want to say, you know what, I hate you too. And that solves nothing, teaches nothing. So I want to set my children up where when I'm not liking them very much, I want to step back and take a look. What is it I really don't like? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the responsibility or the amazing burden or the exhaustion of being a parent.
You're listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting on Purpose. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the children's homes, and the many resources online that benefit the children's homes, go to shfm.org. You can also support the children's homes with a two-letter text. Send the letters SH, it's short for Sheridan House, and send it to 415 415- 1-800-273-1818, and that adds $10 to your cell phone bill and sends it straight to the children's homes. And if you want to hear today's program again, share it or comment, ask a question, you can find that online at parentingonpurpose.org. We now have apps for about any device you have, and you can search for previous topics and listen to them for free online. Again, it's at parentingonpurpose.org. We hope you join us tomorrow as we keep talking about this topic of when my child is difficult to like, here on Parenting on Purpose.